Hi, welcome to Claim Edge, your resource for litigated claims management and resolution. I'm Jim Chapman, your host, and my guest today is Nikos Fekkerides. Nikos is the CEO and co-founder of Attestiv, which is leading the way in automating how insurance companies, attorneys, and others can check the legitimacy of digital documents, photographs, and video. In this age of deep fakes, Attestiv's approach is protecting against fraud and enabling people to get work done much more efficiently. Nikos has a deep technology background, and he shared his story of how he started working in this space and eventually extended Attestiv's innovative solution to insurance companies. I enjoyed the conversation, and I'm sure you will too. Because the Claim Edge podcast is focused on litigated claims, today we'll be talking with Nikos about fraud in claims and claims litigation and how his technology is enabling carriers and attorneys to fight against it. Nikos, welcome to the Claim Edge podcast. It's great to have you as a guest on the show. I know that currently you're the CEO and co-founder of a startup called Attestiv. Really excited to have you as a guest and talk about your technology. But as you know, we're focused on insurance. And I'm just kind of interested, what was it that sort of led you into the insurance space?
Well, my background has been largely technology. I started off as an engineer, my background, MIT, Carnegie Mellon. I moved into management, but my focus has always been on data reliability. Over the years, what that means has kind of evolved. Initially in my career, it was data reliability meant how do you protect this data? And later it became how do you keep it from getting corrupted? How do you keep it from getting attacked by ransomware? And I started a couple of companies along the way in enterprise IT in that data reliability side. And then by around 2017, 2018, you know, we were hearing a lot more about, hey, wait, data reliability, it's not really whether that data is being protected enough. Is this data authentic? Has it been altered? Is it fake? Is it a deep fake? Those are the types of questions we started hearing. And we built a company that provides authenticity for data, for digital media, so photos, videos, and documents. And as we were looking at segments that we were targeting, insurance has a very high rate of fraud, over $300 billion, and it seemed like a natural fit for what we're doing. So that led us straight there, and we found that there is indeed a great need.
Yeah, that is an eye-popping number, $300 billion a year in estimated insurance fraud. And I realize that it's just an estimate. You can't, nobody's probably ever really going to be sure because you don't catch all of it. But that's a huge, huge space. We're obviously focused on property and casualty insurance, and the $300 billion cuts across. But the stat I've read on it is that it's still a $75, maybe $80 billion problem in just property and casualty insurance. And I'm interested in your approach with property and casualty carriers around this Attestiv solution. Can you elaborate on that any?
Sure. So what we do is we use AI and we use our own tamper proofing so that when photos, videos, or documents are submitted as part of an insurance claim, perhaps underwriting or a transaction, we actually analyze them and report on whether there are any anomalies there that could be indicators of fraud. We do that in real time in seconds. So why has this suddenly become relevant to insurances? Well, claims automation is really taking shape in the insurance world. And it's for a number of reasons. Today, you can look around and you can see there's labor shortages. Can we send adjusters on site? Do we have enough people to do this when a hurricane hits? You know, perhaps we should be using self-service. Perhaps we can do this in a touchless way with AI. Well, someone has to validate. If I ask you for photos of your damaged vehicle, someone needs to validate that, hey, you didn't change, you didn't alter these. These aren't your friend's vehicle. This is actually your vehicle. You didn't find these on the internet and so forth. And that's what we do. We do it very quickly. We provide these reports and we let insurers process these claims much more efficiently. And when there is something that needs attention, we alert and then they can be pulled aside and given further scrutiny.
You know, you mentioned earlier the problem of deep fakes, which of course is on a lot of people's minds today, not just insurance. How is your technology addressing that as a challenge? Maybe perhaps more broadly from a societal perspective, but also specifically in terms of the solution you have for carriers?
There are sites where you can visit now, like this car does not exist, right? So they actually create vehicles using these generative adversarial networks. In simple terms, they use AI to generate images that don't exist. And they're very realistic. But rather than a photoshopped image where you can spot that perhaps there's some traces of edits, these are generated from scratch, and they may be generated to look like a phone, an iPhone created photo, and you wouldn't know the difference. So these pose a specific threat to insurance, and that's one area where we help solve for is when you create these photos, if we tamper proof, if we can validate the time, date, location that they were taken, then you know that they're not fake. So for insurance, it can lead to a lot of fraud. But then there are other things. There are other industries that are affected by it. There are deep fakes of people's voices, right? If somebody gets a phone call that sounds like me asking to withdraw money from the company account, there's a good chance they might do that. It's frightening. It also poses a grave security threat as well. So it's very important to have mechanisms like this in place that can detect the presence of fakes so that you can stop the fraud in its tracks.
So does your solution actually extend to audio?
Yeah, we do tamper proofing for any type of file. So photo, video, documents, as well as audio. So that's an important part of the solution.
You'd certainly see, you know, stitching together audio and video and coming up with something that seems pretty believable, but you've got to be able to kind of look under it with your technology to see whether it's real or not. From the standpoint of claims, is this a completely automated solution, or is it simply kind of an alert that a human would get? You need to look more closely at this, or some sort of flagging that allows other folks to then engage over authenticity and those sorts of things?
Well, it is part of a completely automated solution. It's not always the full solution. If you're in a motor vehicle crash and your insurance company says, "Hey, we have a great new experience for you, Jim. We just want you to take the photos, submit them, and then we'll send you a check." Well, what could be happening behind the scenes is someone needs to validate that your photos are in fact valid, right? You didn't edit them. You didn't pull them from the web. You didn't take photos of your screen, all of that. And then it might go into an AI model that does appraisal. And then suddenly you get a check. So what happens is you want that process to run in a touchless way, maybe 90% of the time. And that's a huge improvement. So what we take care of is the other 10% is then we raise that alert. We say, "Oh, sorry, this can't be processed automatically. It requires human intervention," but in a very proactive way. So someone can call you and say, "Jim, can you take some additional photos?" Or they could see that, "Hey, these are photos that were taken 6 months ago," and, you know, say, "Well, this needs to be sent to special investigation."
So you guys have obviously developed the technology stack to get to that point. Is there any application great at sort of intercepting, identifying, and I'll say stopping fraud, but from maybe a more preventative standpoint? Are there practices that are evolving out of this that are helping a carriers or attorneys that they hire around evidence evaluation that you're seeing or that you're developing?
As a matter of fact, we are. And we have artificial intelligence that looks at photos coming in from the wild. But we have processes of tamper proofing so that the instant the photo is taken, we create these fingerprints. We store them on a distributed ledger, and they don't have to be on a ledger, but AKA blockchain. I don't know if that's a bad word these days. What that does is it gives you an ability to prove that this image hasn't changed from that point. It gives you this chain of custody, if you will, so that when it shows up in court, you can validate that this is in its original form from the instant that it was captured. And not only that, but the metadata hasn't been changed. And that's important too, because I guess in the name of privacy, a lot of your iPhone, for instance, allows you to change the time and location of the photo in a way that's kind of undetectable. So this becomes very important when you want something to be provable in court. This gives you a way to prove that it hasn't been altered from its original state.
I want to go a little deeper on that. Is that a technology that has to be enabled, say, on the phone side in order for this validation to work? Or is it something that's after a phone or recording is taken that does that?
Two parts of the technology. The tamper proofing, yes, is something that has to be enabled. We say in the capture app, right? It doesn't have to be on the phone itself, but if you're using an app to take the photos, it can be in that app, embedded within that app. And then you have this extremely high level of confidence. We call it the 99%+ confidence that this has not been altered in any way. Now, if you only use the AI, which is our second layer of protection, let's say the photo came in from the wild, we don't know where it originated from, then your confidence level goes down. It goes down to above 90%. And then the way that we shape our AI and algorithms is to ensure that we reduce false positives. So if anything slips through, it would be a false negative, but false positives would be bad, right? I'm accusing you of fraud when you really haven't done anything is a really bad customer experience, and that's what we avoid.
Are you seeing, I don't know, the fraud issues arise mostly in these catastrophic losses situations, you know, hurricanes, fires, that sort of thing? Or does it tend to be more sort of one-off events, automobile accident or specific damage that's isolated in some way?
We see it in both. There's certainly when these catastrophic losses happen, sometimes you get photos from the wrong location that get mixed in as my neighbor's damage is. And again, it's, you know, sometimes it's people being opportunistic. It's, my neighbor's damage looks like a much higher, a claim than mine. But again, you can capture that via location and validating the location. If you tamper proof that location, then you know you're in the wrong place. But also there's one-offs. There's also fraud rings where you see it, you know, it could be in the automobile insurance space where a lot of times claims are exaggerated. Perhaps, there's old photos of the same vehicle or the same photos are used over and over again. And we also detect things like duplicates through our technology. So that there's a little bit of both going on is the short answer.
I can certainly see how it helps solve the problem of people making the same claim twice, three times, four times. I can remember years and years ago when I lived in Colorado, it was a big problem with people making claims for hail damage, which is a fairly common occurrence in a state like that. And they would just, you know, use the photos from the last hailstorm that the car was in and never get it repaired and, you know, submit another claim after another storm. And it was very difficult for carriers to catch that type of fraud in a way that I think your technology today really is solving a big problem.
You're right. And we can really curtail a lot of that. You know, and then there are other issues. You know, if somebody takes a hammer and, you know, pounds their roof so it looks like hail damage, which are a little bit trickier to solve. But being able to solve, a lot of those issues or even 90% or 80% of those issues is a big improvement when you look at the $300 billion problem.
You mentioned the use of artificial intelligence, the algorithms that you guys have developed for your products. I'm wondering, I think I heard this correctly, that one challenge around that is the false positive that comes out of that. But more deeply, are there any other problems that AI is creating or that you have to be concerned about might be created as a result of what you're doing?
I guess it can go in multiple directions. I mean, certainly AI is partially responsible for our relevance, simply because, the generative adversarial networks can create these very realistic fake images, the deep fakes, if you will. It is creating problems and also helping solve them at the same time. With AI in general, there's always the question of how much information are you intaking? What are you doing with that information? The transparency side of it. We do not store, essentially, we're not storing, we're not using data for other purposes aside from analyzing and scoring these individual images or documents. we've been very clear about that from the outset. But yeah, as you continue to share your data across different sources, it's just an industry-wide problem is what happens to my data? Oh, I just shared pictures of my home. Where is it all going? So there are concerns there. But again, this is where practices and being compliant and transparency make a big difference so that you know where your data is going. And it's certainly only being used for the purpose of assessing the claim.
Yeah, that's interesting you mentioned that. There's several lawsuits, but there's a big one going on against Google down in Texas over their sort of data privacy practices, and particularly around using people's images that they've stored in the cloud, you know, on a Google platform, and how Google has made use of them without apparently consent that has the Texas Attorney General up in arms about it. So you do have to be, I think, in this day and age, especially sensitive to kind of the privacy issues associated with the use of that sort of personal data. You mentioned that these kind of fingerprints, if I can call them that, around images or other data that is created at a point in time are highly relevant to being able to use something successfully as an exhibit or a piece of evidence in a courtroom proceeding. When you don't have that, can you speak to the challenges around authenticating something? A good bit of our listening audience are lawyers that can sometimes be challenged by that. And oftentimes the solution is, I've got to go hire an expensive forensic expert that can speak to it. But is there another course? Is there a simpler path that you guys see or maybe that you're thinking about developing?
Well, certainly when you have something like a fingerprinting, it makes it easier because now you can track originality. I think in court today, people challenge images, people challenge videos. It's becoming much more commonplace. And that really becomes the realm of forensic experts. You know, now you have to prove that something has been altered. And perhaps there's a bigger burden if you don't have a way to track the originality or prove that it's unoriginal, then you do have to go in and find forensic traces and present them as evidence that they've happened. And that's where AI comes in. We have technology that does heat maps that show you exactly where the photos may have changed. But again, you'd have to take that with a grain of salt that you are looking for sort of a prevalence of evidence that this has really been modified. It's sort of something that we do run into in the insurance space is sometimes things get modified, perhaps not for malicious reasons. Hey, insurance companies, we want to save space. We like to shrink the photos. Well, when you shrink them, you lose information. And of course, we see that as a form of tampering, but it doesn't mean that it was malicious. So you also have to discern between those types of cases.
You know, it's funny, in the past that happened a lot with just documents in my own experience where to save space, people felt like the storage costs were too high and to optimize a document, but you lost so much information in that process that too becomes a problem.
It's a common theme because on one side, you've got camera manufacturers, phone manufacturers saying, oh, 40 megapixels today. And you know, you're making these enormous images and someone on the other side is, well, I don't need that many. So we're gonna cut it down just a little bit. But again, you lose the originality in the process. So it's a little bit of a trade-off there.
I know that you're not entirely focused on the insurance industry. Can you talk a little bit about where you see fakes as a problem in other industries, perhaps some that you're focused on?
Sure. As you move over to financial services, particularly the document fraud is very prevalent there. And a lot of it is prevented through these KYC, know your customer, KYB, know your business type processes. A lot of these involve documentations, right? If I'm a business, here are my articles of organization, and everything comes in as these documents or PDF, everything comes in digital format. So the digital is the original. So how do you verify that nothing's been altered? You know, being able to validate all of these documents gives you a much better confidence that the person you're dealing with is honest and somebody who is not going to do something that's fraudulent. And as you know, fraud is rampant in certain places. I mean, we saw, you know, we see things, you know, as cryptocurrency becomes more commonplace as well. We're seeing a lot of fraudulent things going on there, whether it's, people are moving money or trying to do the equivalent of wire fraud, which is transfer the money to the steal somebody's money by having them transfer it to the wrong place. Oftentimes it involves, documents, perhaps a wiring instruction document or a transfer instruction document that has been altered.
You know, it's funny you talk about that. It still affects the insurance space because insurance companies provide policies against certain types of financial losses that are caused. So it's still highly relevant to insurance. And I would think from the perspective, at least of underwriting, that they'd want to make sure that the companies that they're doing business with have applied technologies like yours to, again, know your customer, right? Know your business, know who you're dealing with, and provide that level of assurance, I should say, that the transaction is authentic, legitimate, and not motivated by some sort of devious effort to steal or acquire money or data, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, with insurance, there's some interesting, you know, balances you can do is, you can raise premiums when there's a lot of fraud. And in financial services, it's more difficult to say, you know, we'll just raise our fees and recover the fraud. And it doesn't really work that way. So, but it isn't important. And when you look at it from an insurance point of view, also insurance carriers want to be competitive. So they don't want to be hit with a ton of fraud because, of course, they can pass the, you know, just like they pass the losses on to the customers, they much rather be on the other side, which is passing the savings on to the customers.
Well, I love what you're doing in the industry. It's a great opportunity to move the needle, particularly against fraud. I was wondering if any of our listeners want to connect with you, Nikos, or check out Attestiv. What's the best way to do that?
Well, we have a general address, info@attestiv.com. You can visit our website at attestiv.com. It doesn't have an E on the end, but if you try with an E, we have that. We have you covered anyway. And also, I'm always out on LinkedIn, and that's sort of my social network. So I'm happy to connect with people there.
I've really enjoyed this conversation, and I want to just thank you again for being a guest on the podcast today.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me. I hope we talk again soon.
It was a real pleasure to have Nikos Vekkorides, CEO of Attestiv, as a guest on the Claim Edge podcast. I hope you enjoyed our conversation about deepfakes, insurance fraud, litigation, and the use of technology in the pursuit of better claims litigation outcomes. As Nikos said, if you want to contact him, you can do that on LinkedIn or email him, nikos@attestiv.com. Thanks for listening. If you like this episode of Claim Edge, please subscribe on your favorite podcast channel and share it with your colleagues and friends. Until next time, this is Jim Chapman on the Claim Edge podcast, signing off.